Zechreinu l'chaim, melachovitz v'chaim, v'chatzveinu v'sefer ha'chaim. Okay, what does it mean? Zechreinu l'chaim, remember me, remember us, v'chaim, you understand that. V'chatzveinu v'sefer ha'chaim, melachovitz v'chaim, v'chatzveinu v'sefer ha'chaim. So when we're davening, you say the following. Zechreinu l'chaim, some of us may close our eyes tightly and, you know, make faces and say, Hashem, remember Shechem. Melech HaVetz V'chaim. You king who wants Chaim. Because they knew, and write us all down, Sefer Chaim. And then we get these next three words here. So actually, there's one word. What does Laman Chamin? Yep, that's what it means. That's what it says in English. You're sick. Now, does anybody know what that means? Zechrein l'chaim. Remember us for life. Write us down in the book of life. Zechrein l'chaim. Melech HaVetz V'chaim. Because Veinu V'sefer HaChaim. L'mancha, for your sake, Elokim Chaim.
You are Elokim Chaim, and therefore...
What's for your sake mean? What does it mean for your sake? I'm a very simple person. I can't understand that. I've davened this way for years. I saw the English. If you're sick, tell me, explain it to me.
We're all
obeying
Hashem. If we don't have time to serve Hashem, then there's no way to serve Hashem.
Are you saying a bar to pshat, or are you saying like pusha touch? I'm really into the pusha touch. What's a pusha touch?
Okay, let me. Today that, for example, like
we need Hashem
need us for some reason.
That's what it sounds like, right? Which is what I don't understand. Yeah. What does that mean? What does that mean? Okay, so let me ask you a question. This is a word that I said many years ago, but I think it will help, at least it helped me to understand these words. My sixth grade Rebbe told us, I told you this once, probably many years ago. I lived on a very straight, famous street called Eastern Parkway. I told you this recently about this, about tapping the guy on the shoulder. You lived there too on Eastern Parkway, right? That's what I thought you once told me. 1040, what was your address?
974.
So you were between me, our building and Lubavitch. Babish was 770, we were 1040, and you were 974. Yeshiva Eastern Parkway was 991. It was across the street.
It's just like one big avenue?
A very big street. Very big street.
Beautiful area.
Yeah. Beautiful, yeah. Everybody has very fond memories. It was a 6-lane highway in the middle, 2 service lanes on either end. In front of my house was the last stop of the IRT, first stop of the Remsen Avenue bus. I would say, I don't want to exaggerate, it's probably with thousands, but hundreds for sure. Hundreds and hundreds of people were in front of my house every day, waiting for the bus. So they would get online, orderly line. They'd get off the bus in the morning, go down to the IRT, get pumped for the IRT, get online for the bus. My house was mamish right there at the corner of Eastern Parkway in Schenectady. Rebbe, sixth grade Rebbe I had was a tzaddik. He said, you know, tap a guy who's going down the subway. You know, I never did this, obviously. And where are you going? He says, going to work. Why? To make money. Why? To eat. Why? To live. Then the next question. I was a sixth grader, you know, he played a game with us, but we're not playing the game. The next question is why? No, I'm saying a Rebbe was trying to teach us a lesson. I'm saying when you ask the person, we're going to work, why? To make money, why? To eat, why? To live, the next question is why? Why do you want to live? So his game was, so I can go to work, so I can make money, so I can eat, so I can, you know. But in all seriousness, that's a very, very, That's a terrifically deep question, which for some people can be a horrific question, and it's really the question of life. Why? like you know, the answer can be very, very. The question is thought-provoking and aggravating. You know, bug off. You know, get out of here. It's none of your business. What are you asking me? Leave me alone. You know. But the real question is why? Why? What am I doing? Which leads to the second question. And the second question is when somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hi, my name is Cohen. Who are you?" I tell you your name. They say, "You know, what do you do?" Now, I don't mean, you know the smart aleck aspect of this. I think it's a very important question. What do you do? What do you do? Meaning, who are you? Well, in America, the answer is, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a scientist, I'm a teacher, you know, I'm a farmer. What? No, I'm fine, thank you. But here's the issue, the real issue. And I've seen this many times, and I know this is, you know, our Sunday morning women's shir of the Eric and Nita Meir, women's learning division of Adash Yeshurin. That's why it's very apropos to say about the women. I've seen women cringe at this question, especially nowadays. Like, almost embarrassed to say, "I stay home with my kids." You know, 40 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 30 years ago, you know, I would say in a certain way it was like almost a badge of honor. Women apologize for working out of the home. And now there's a flip to it. I'm not coming here to be critical or not critical. It's not the issue. The issue is that a person, at least the impression I get when I see the question being asked, is a person doesn't feel whole if their answer is, I stay at home. You know, like I'm lacking in accomplishment. Now, I'll take your question in half a second. I want to bring out the point here for a second. My father-in-law, Rabbi Pinchas Stolper, once came to Chicago the first year we came here 30 years ago. And he came as a scholar in residence for Yeshivas Migdal Torah. Rabbi Lovatansky at that time introduced him. He said, "Rabbi Stolper, founder of NCSY, head of the OU, author of many books, Kira of this, that," he went on and on and on. So my father, you know, came up and had to respond, you know, as speakers have to do. So he said over an incredible part. You know, it came to him, it's Yatta the Shemaya, but he said, "You know, I really like all those titles. It feels good." I don't know exactly what words he said. "But right now, from now on, if you want to, you can just introduce me as a Zayda. I'm a Zayda. What did he mean to say? He meant to say is that Lemaisa, that's not something now I'm proud of. That's something to do in life. That's an accomplishment. It means you was zecher to have children. It means you was zecher to bring them up. It means you was zecher to take them to the chuppah. It means they was zecher to, and they was zecher to have children. It's a tremendous accomplishment. Tremendous accomplishment. And it's something that a person could say, this is who I am. Now, what I mean to say is like this. Somebody's asking you, who are you? Now, let's say you're a normal person who sleeps, 8 hours a night. Nobody probably does that anymore, but that's like, you know, that was used to be normal, right? To sleep 8 hours a night. And work was 8 hours a day, normal, right? 9 to 5 was a job, and you slept from 11 to 7, whatever. Well, you know, when things were normal, right? Before everybody gets stressed out of their minds, okay? Would anybody ever say, when somebody says, what do? Would anybody ever answer, I'm a sleeper? Would anybody answer, I brush my teeth? These are all things that we do. But everybody understands that's not what you're asking. My essence in life, I may need to sleep in order to be able to function. I may need to brush my teeth in order to be able to survive. I have to take care of myself physically in order to be able to accomplish. But there's no tzad nevel, that's what I do. That's what I do. So this is on a side for a moment. The velt is taking away the concept. So Lemaisa, the question or the point is that in all of these situations, a person has to be able to, I would say, define themselves. And that's a very, very serious thing, to define yourself. What am I? Who am I? What do I do? And, you know, to define yourself. And again, I bring up my children, or I take care of my house and my husband. What's the problem with that? Okay, now, let's go weiter. But first, let's take your question.
It's not really a question. I think that in our society, we define, or people define each other as to what we do, not who we are.
I'm with you, and that's what I meant before. I don't want, you know, smartical answers, because, you know, we understand that when somebody says, what do? We're trying to, it's friendly banter, it's friendly conversation. Really what I mean to say is, how do you live? Meaning, what do you do to make money? That's really what we're doing over here. I understand that. But I think it's a very important point to say the following. To define for ourselves, I'm using this as a mechanism. I don't want to say as a ploy. I'm using it as a mechanism that we should get into our kishkes to know what we're doing. Okay, now, and not allow the world to redefine what we are doing. Exactly. It is a musavart. It's a musavart. Now, again, they don't mean it. It means to think. To think. It's so important to think. So, person says that when I was first a rov and my shgiach and the rebbe in Skokie Yeshiva and even in Kugel, this mice I'm about to tell you had a profound effect upon my life. I had a friend who learned in Kugel. I had a friend who had a cousin who learned in Kugel Pervadas for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. Then he went to work. So in his 30s, he went to work. When you would ask him what do you do, his immediate response was, "I learned Baba Basra." He learned for 2 hours a day, and he worked for whatever it was, 8-10 hours a day. He learned for 2 hours a day. This mice had carried me for years, because what does the guy say? He asked me, what do I do? Again, I don't mean the flippancy, forget that. What the guy's trying to tell you, that my essence in life is learning Baba Basra. Okay, now, I want to tell you that for years, and I still do, inspiration from that answer. Okay, but if you want to go that route, that person also didn't get his essence. I'll show you what I mean. Somebody says to me, what do you do? Listen, I say, I'm a rough. Shurim, learning, Torah, is people, Myrizik. Now, here's the question. Is that also my essence? Guys, I'm going to bring out the following point. Let's use the examples I used before, because for a moment I'm going to make them all very painful. And then I'm going to show you how I'll make everything painful. And then Bez Hashem will make it non-painful, okay? A woman has no husband, has no children. So now she has no tachlis? Of course, that's not true, right? So I'm pushing, I'm saying, I take care of my husband, I take care of my kids. You have no husband, you have no kids, and what? Then being an accountant does not become tachlis. Being a lawyer, being a doctor, right? Okay, so what happens? Now we got to go weiter. I spoke for the Ark last week. That's why I got back into this word. I told him, you get up every morning, come to work. What are you doing? Now, when the Chofetz Chaim was in a wagon with his son-in-law, and they finished the ride, and the son-in-law stuck his hand in the pocket to pay the wagon driver, who was Jewish. Chofetz Chaim said to the son-in-law, what are you doing? He said, I'm paying the wagon driver. No, what are you doing? So he said, he realized something's wrong here. And the Chofetz Chaim meant there's a mitzvah aseh d'oraisa to pay a Jewish employee on time. You don't stop sticking your hand in your pocket paying the wagon driver, because otherwise you don't pay him, it's going to be geneva, lazy. No, get to the essence. I'm being mekayim a mitzvah aseh d'oraisa of paying the wagon driver on time. Fast forward 50 years later, there was a Jew who was in Chicago for a while. Rabbi Moshe Hirschler Zatzal, who was Yeshiva in Skokie, a big, big gigantic Tamachachim, wrote many, many Sorim. He had a son-in-law who I was very close with, and he told me that his father-in-law had told him this story about the Chofetz Chaim, and they were in a cab in Eretz Yisrael. And they get out of the cab, and he's about to pay. So his father says, "What are you doing?" "I'm paying." He says, "I know, I'm paying. I'm being mechavim for the mitzvah of Yom Tite Tzcharo." His father-in-law, Moshe Hirschler, said to his son-in-law, who told me, "You know, embarrassing himself. You're doing a mitzvah right now." I said, "Yeah, but I'm doing a mitzvah. You know, why aren't you paying with your right hand?" Yeah. What are we doing? Who are we? What am I doing right now? Think. And that's something that the Yetzer Hara doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want us to think about what we're doing. He doesn't want us to think about what we're doing. So, Rav Shach, Gadol Hador, Ponovitz Yeshiva, the biggest yeshiva in the world at the time. I'm just king of the mountain. He's king of the mountain. So, and at 98 years old, he's still saying Shir. But he lived to be 104. And at 99, he didn't say Shir anymore because he couldn't. And then by the time he was 100, he couldn't eat anymore. He had a feeding tube. And he was basically sitting at home all day. He wouldn't answer Shilas anymore because he felt he didn't have the Kaychas. Somebody asked him, "What do you do all day? Are you going to tell me my tachlis was to be a Rosh Hashiva?" So now, what should we do with you now? "My tachlis was my kind of mitzvah of a matzah male seder. So what should I do with you now?" She said, "I think about Ein Od Milvado." That's what I think about, Ein Od Milvado. While my heart is beating, I am a statement that there's a Borei. And my connection is to the Borei, Ein Od Milvado. So really, of course, as you said, what's the answer to the question, what am I? And I tell you the truth, lately, I don't know, because I'm a little embarrassed to tell people I'm a Rav. You know, I'm embarrassed, I feel like maybe it's Gaiva. I also tell people that if you want to know what I'm trying to do, lately my answer is to people. This is what I say to people. So you ask me what I do, I say, lately my answer to people is I'm trying to be an Erel Chayyid. And I've discovered that it's a full-time job, and it gets harder as you get older. Now, you're right. We are not one-dimensional. But that statement that I'm an Eved Hashem encompasses everything that we do. I'm an Eved Hashem in the office as an accountant, as a doctor, as a lawyer. I'm an Eved Hashem as a driver in the street.
Why does it get harder? It should get easier.
I'll tell you why I think it gets harder in a second. But what I think is important to remember is that wherever we go and whatever we do, this comes along with us, of being an Eved Hashem. It comes along with us to be an Eved Hashem. Okay, now, Umamela, just to answer your question for a moment, you see, without knowing you well, you, when you walk by McDonald's, have no time to go in. I met a person in a dormitory years ago, and heard the show about Tshuva, who told me every time he walks by McDonald's, it's an incredible test not to go in, right? Okay, so we, as we have grown, and we probably never had a taiva to go to McDonald's if we, you know, brought up from whatever, but we had other taivas that we worked on, and basically right now they're no longer a test. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein was not tested about whether or not he should, he should go to daven in the morning or put on his tefillin, right? He was way, way past those tests. But when the Chofetz Chaim was 90 years old and it was freezing in Russia, I don't even know what freezing means, freezing. And he had a conversation with his Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara said to him, Yisrael Meir, you're 95 years old already. He wrote the Mishnah Berurah. Everything else you did. So Chofetz Chaim said this gewaldic line to his Yetzer Hara. You know what he said to his Yetzer Hara? It's just unbelievable. He said to his Yetzer Hara, "You know, you're just as old as I am." Yetzer Hara said, "Yeah, but you've been davening, you wrote the Mishnah Berurah, and you see, it won't come to Shacharis. Stay under the covers a little longer." So my mashal is the Yetzer Hara climbs the mountain with you. And as you get higher on the mountain, it's harder to breathe, the air is thinner. You know, there are different subtleties. There are subtleties of what the Yetzer Hara tries to get you to do. You already are an elevated. What do you got to do any more for? You have, look what you've done already. Look what you accomplished already. You know, all types of different things. Okay, now here we go. Zochem Elochayim. Elochavitz B'chayim. Oy, give me life. King of life, give me life. Zechreinu. Because Zechreinu B'sefer Chaim. Give all life. Now what's L'mancha? Comma goes after the word L'mancha. Even in the Oscar Siddur, there's a comma after the word L'mancha. 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 Let me do it for your sake. L'mancha. Let me live life for your sake. Let me live life l'shem shemayim. I'm not going to answer three. Yeah, it's tzadikim. I'm standing in front of all these tzadikim over here. Wherever I go, I always find that I was paying into tzadikim. Listen, you ever did anything? Kuloi l'shem shemayim. And not for any other reason. That's all l'mancha means. Zechreinu l'chaim, remember us. Melech ha'vitzchaim, because Zechreinu l'chaim. What are we going to do? L'mancha. L'mancha. I'm going to eat that matzah Leil Seder after not eating all day. If I'm zeicher to sit with my family or with friends at a Seder, what am I thinking about? Mamish L'shem Shemayim, the matzah is good. I'm hungry. It's been a long day. I haven't eaten anything. Finally get to the Seder. It's very nice. Book of this Baruch Hashem. I have a wonderful wife and children. I live in a nice house. I'm in a hotel. I made it. I have money. Whatever. You can think of a million things. Maybe you can think of the fact that my father has a mini Baruch Hashem that he put salt on his matzah, because without salt I could never eat this matzah. A million things. I got a clock here to make sure I do it in 2 minutes, but if I'm forgetting my wife's supposed to do it in 2 minutes, I got a million things. I'm doing it because Hashem said he took us out of Mitzrayim, you got to eat matzah. L'mancha. L'mancha.
What about other things in life that aren't necessarily directly mitzvot?
Everything is Rosh Hashem.
Of course, but that's... But what if I
want to
do something for recreation?
Recreation is so that I'll be able to be a better Avodas Hashem.
So I should say that, I'm going to the park.
Every time I play racquetball, I say before I play, I'm playing L'shem Shamayim, I'm playing L'shem Priyas Aguf, and I'm playing L'shem Chesed with my partner. You wonder if I mean it L'shem Shamayim when I say the words? Okay, that's a different issue. I don't have to answer that question. I'm saying, you can do anything L'shem Shamayim. Anything L'shem Shamayim. Not anything, everything. On Gedolei Olam it has been said that they never moved any part of their body Shalol Hashem Shemayim. Didn't do anything Shalol Hashem Shemayim.
The intention.
When the Rebbe Lapian, who this man in the red jacket, Dr. Jack Fox, who just came in, he'll be in a second, saw Rebbe Lapian standing at a bus stop. He wanted to see if the bus was coming, so he turned his head to the left to see if the bus was coming. He said, in Kelm, I have to pay a knas for that. What am I turning my head for? The bus is going to come. I'll see it when it's in front of my feet. If it's not going to come, I won't. Some people grew up that way. Kula L'shem Shemayim. Okay. Sunday morning getting up to come to a shir for you is Kula L'shem Shemayim. For me, it's, ego, gaiva, I got a bunch of other things I can connect to with Chas V'Shalom. I don't want to, but, that L'shem Shemayim. L'mancha Elokim. That's our way during the Sereshim Mechuvah, to connect to the Bayre, to do something L'shem Shemayim. It's a covered Godel saying Shia for all of you. We just started Tav Shanayim Gimel. I'll call everybody Bez Hashem. We'll get some of the call, but we're going to start up again after Yotiv. It should be only with Hatzlach HaRabah. Thank you very much.